is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
With Gordon Chang, my colleague and co-host. Reuters. U.S. says Chinese satellite firm is supporting Houthi attacks on U.S. interests. This has to do with the choking off of global trade in the Red Sea. Gordon and I welcome our colleague Steve Yates of the Heritage Foundation to comment not only on this item, China participating in aggression against the whole world by aiding and abetting a pirate and terrorist outfits such as the Houthis. But also there are reports by the Kyiv government that Chinese nationals have been captured in the contest in Ukraine. There have long been reports, Steve, of dual-use technology flowing from China to Moscow, sometimes less than dual-use. And in general, what we're dealing with is a China that claims to be neutral but is participating in war fighting against allies of the U.S. and the U.S. itself. Is this an issue that comes up in Washington that you watch very carefully? Good evening to you.
Well, thank you, John. Certainly is something that is rising on the radar across, I think, almost all lines in Washington. It's just part of a long-term trend where U.S.-China relations used to be seen as a bilateral matter contained mostly within Asia-Pacific or Indo-Pacific strategy. And now we have a homeland element to it and an internationalized element to it that I think is more expansive than anything we could have imagined with the People's Republic of China going back a generation. And I think it is in some ways more strategically significant than the Soviet Union was during the Cold War, in part because of the very permissive international environment for China at once to take economic advantage of us and our allies while directly contributing to, in some cases, being the prime driver of attacks on our interests and our people. And so I think these actions in the Middle East, actions in Europe, we have actions in our own hemisphere, and of course the expansionism in East Asia, all at once, I think it's a posture of aggression and pretty close to warfare. If it isn't, it comes into the category of looks like a duck, walks like a duck. This is what an expansionist aggressor looks like.
Gordon, you have a question for Steve.
This Chinese company, which actually is state-controlled, Changguang Satellite Technology, has been supplying satellite imagery to Houthis so they can attack U.S. Navy vessels. You would think that this would inform many things, including the quote-unquote tariff war we have with China right now. But it seems that we Americans have stovepiped this. We talk about trade as if it had no relation to geopolitics and vice versa. I know this is an impossible question to answer, but why are we so blind to this?
I think part of it is just natural missionary instinct among Americans, where we want to believe that other people are just like us, that they grow up and want to take care of their kids and have a better life, find a way to get along, all those things. And history should educate us that from time to time, there are very clearly different motivations in different societies and powers that are revisionist and aggressive. And I think that's what we're living with now. So the dream that we would engage and normalize the People's Republic of China, I think, has burst among those who are in charge of policy. This tariff war, if we want to call it that, it's really a response to China's economic warfare against the international system and especially us, I think, has accelerated the need to decouple, but it's not just economic. I think that there is a broad sense across leadership in the administration, and I think some of the leadership in the Congress that recognizes, while this is painful, difficult, and confusing right now, far better to make these adjustments before missiles start flying directly at us. And so I think China has forced this to come sooner than later, whether they know it or not.
Steve, it's a puzzle how China continues to present itself as a developing nation, as a junior partner, as a neutral entity on the scene, as someone interested in blue helmets and not combat. Is that something that dates back before the communists? Is that a condition they always fall into We're not the bad guys. They are.
Well, in general, John, I don't give the Communist Party of China any credit for any part of Chinese history that predates the time they conducted a revolution against all of the olds. And so they own whatever definition of China there is from 1949 forward. It has definitely been a characteristic under the Communist Party since the Kissinger opening for them to kind of play this game of having aggressive ambitions over time, but biding their time and letting us flood them with opportunity. I think that that shifted in a tectonic way under Xi Jinping. And this is an era where they are pushing much more openly and aggressively. But this is a shift in the Communist Party. I don't think this is Chineseness. I think this is the Communist Party of China doing what, frankly, it has always done. It's been engaged in political warfare this whole time. It's just really been whether it's been in the open and aggressive towards us or permissive and kind of in hiding. And we have tended to want to believe the in hiding meant that they were going to normalize, be a good neighbor, and we could grow our way out of the problems.
Gordon, did the false face deceive the H.W. Bush administration, the Clinton administration, or did they want to be deceived? How do you remember it?
I remember wanting to be deceived. I don't want to be uncharitable. It was at the end of the Cold War, and I think people felt that there was a real possibility that the Chinese regime could evolve and reform. And, you know, I remember being in Shanghai in 1996 and thinking that China wasn't communist anymore. Now, I had the advantage of actually being there. So after 6 months, I got disabused of that rather quickly. But, you know, American presidents don't get the opportunity to spend long periods of time inside the Chinese regime and to see what is actually going on. But by the time of George W. Bush, we should have realized that this was not going in the right direction. And George W. Bush's pro-China policies, I think, were indefensible.
And Steve, what is your memory of when it became clear that China had a false face? Was that the Clinton administration, or was that George W.? Was that Obama? Where did the false face first come up? We have about a minute.
Well, for me, looking back in hindsight, it's very, very clear. But I would say I largely agree with Gordon's timeline. I think during the Bush administration, George W. Bush administration, actions should have spoken louder than they did. And there was a struggle inside the Bush administration about which way to go. I think post 9/11, because they felt like there were bigger strategic interests at stake, they chose to bide their time and continue the engagement policy as it had been. I think now we look back on that, that was a strategic error. And now we have a bigger strategic problem than would have needed to be the case had we used the leverage we had then to mitigate.
And Gordon, with 30 seconds, is there a review underway about the U.S. misunderstanding this, or is this still to be plumbed by historians?
I think that people understand what's going on, but I think Washington is moving slowly because they understand the problem. They don't focus on, or they don't have a consensus on solutions. Right. And what we need is that consensus on solutions.
Gordon Chang, Steve Yates, I'm John Batchelor.